Classic Business, Africa.
Well, Africa continues to be ripe for investment. There's no doubt that 2019 has seen a quickening of renewed international competition on the continent. China is now Africa's leading trading partner, and India, Russia and others are increasing their involvement. Where we've seen the European Union certainly treading water, and they're more worried about Brexit at the moment than anything else, and the United States seemingly falling behind. A key development last year was Russia's re-entry into Africa. Now, this week, the first Russia-Africa summit will add to an already lengthy list of summits. Russia has for several years been quietly investing in Soviet-era partnerships and forging new alliances by offering security and arms training and electioneering services in exchange for mining rights and other opportunities. Dr. Martin Davies, Managing Director, Emerging Markets in Africa at Deloitte, follows these things quite closely. Dr. Davies, good to chat to you again. What can we expect from the first Africa-Russia summit?
Yeah, Michael, good evening. Well, firstly, lots of coverage, that's for sure. I think every country has an Africa conference or summit or a strategy these days. A couple of months ago, I was in Japan, and they had their sort of the Japan-Africa summit. There's another one coming up next month. It's the EU-Africa summit taking place in Morocco. The Chinese have theirs perpetually, and everyone's looking to get a piece of the action or perceived action in the continent. I think first and foremost is geopolitical. Especially in the case of Russia, but it's also looking for sort of deals like everyone else is. I think the arguably sort of yield is low in developed countries, and Africa is seen as a continent of opportunity. No matter how bad the macro often is, many companies and countries and sovereigns particularly think they can profit from the continent in economic as well as political terms. So the attention is good. It's just a question of how recipient African states manage these actors, be they new or old, and how those monies are channeled effectively.
And that really speaks to a potential strategic opportunity for Africa to understand that no doubt the Americans under Trump are having a look at what Russian President Vladimir Putin is doing with Africa and might potentially come and vie for its own sphere of influence on the continent. And if African leaders are smart and strategic, they are in a particularly powerful bargaining and negotiating position.
You know, I think the opportunity here is always, you know, there should be, when you have such strong interest and sizable capital coming from different countries and you know, competing almost, it should be leveraged effectively. There should be a scramble to finance, again, using that overused word, scramble to finance African infrastructure. We're not quite seeing that. I think again, it comes down to the ability of African states, be it unilaterally or regionally, is to create proper, good, bankable, well-governed projects. And we see a dearth of those. I mean, I think this is an indictment on many regional economic communities in the continent where for 20 years now, I think the Chinese started this off when they launched their first China-Africa summit in 2000. I remember I was there, it was October 2000 in Beijing. It's almost two decades. And we're still seeing this dearth of good investable projects in the majority of offering proper returns, which are measurable, i.e. private capital is very measurable in return. Often when the sovereign investor deploys capital, think China here, think Russia, typically we'll see that this week again, is the sovereign capital, state capital, if you will, is very difficult to measure these returns. So it's an indictment, I think, on us in terms of saying, well, have we really leveraged this significant opportunity that has two decades where many so-called new actors, or in Russia's case, resurgent actors, are showing so much interest in us. I don't think it's been leveraged as anywhere near as well as it could have been.
That's it. So there's obviously the commercial opportunity and to bring those bankable projects and to leverage them. There's also a very real risk here. And we know that Russian business has been tainted by corruption in the past. Last week, I was chatting to Bill Brado of the Magnitsky Act, and the sort of corruption that Russia has become synonymous for is outlined in red notice. So from the outside, this seems to pose a bit of a problem for South Africa in particular, a country trying to clean up its image after the Zuma years.
And of course, capital will always be constrained, or the behavior of capital will be dictated where it lands, and that comes down to domestic governance in that particular jurisdiction. I think the sectors which Russia typically very much involved in, think commodities, think arms, defense deals, think power sector, are three which are always very much heavy state involved on the recipient side. And that has almost a baked-in tendency for poor governance, arguably. I think, again, in South Africa's case, Russia was strongly very much interested in the nuclear play, and that, you know, seemingly has been put to bed now, but seems to be still being spoken about for some reason. And we know how that was playing out, in recent years. So I think it's up to when Ramaphosa and Lily Pandor, our Minister of Foreign Affairs, and Ibrahim Patel this week, DTI, are in Russia. I think I'd like to see, not just from our government, from many governments, and no matter where these summits are held, I think the issue of governance, particularly sovereign debt and state capital and transparency, are of absolute paramount importance. Private sector capital is more, arguably, more transparent and more able to be regulated sooner or later, perhaps. State capital, perhaps lesser.
And speaking of the Chinese and Lily Pandor, our Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, she was on Friday throwing the country's weight behind China in support of the multilateral trade system. So there's all of that to think about in a world where increasingly we're seeing those old rule books being ripped up by the likes of Trump and Brexit. How do you see that factoring into the high-level conversation? I see 47 African heads of state are expected.
Yeah, that's the vast majority, and obviously a lot of interest here. I think the African Continental Free Trade Agreement announcement has been very well received. Again, devil in the detail, but it's been very well received globally by these players. They see new opportunity, a rising opportunity in Africa. The world is increasingly polarized, largely because of the very hawkish Republican administration led by Donald Trump in the U.S. And countries, fortunately, unfortunately, I'd argue, are perhaps having to choose sides. And it's not just about geopolitics anymore. It's also about trade, seemingly. So we're seeing these sort of trade alignments occur. The growth clearly has come out of the likes of China. Even Russia trade, looking at the figures in the last decade or so, official figures show that trade almost going up four times between Russia and Africa in the last 10 years. So, you know, the direction of trade is clearly more towards the growth of trade, more clear towards the east rather than the west, and perhaps the geopolitics is following. But I think this strong interest that has been seen, being witnessed in Africa from the likes of Moscow, from Beijing, from even Ankara in Turkey, from India, Singapore has their own Africa summit on a biannual basis. The strong interest in our continent is certainly to be encouraged, and it shows direction of growth in the sort of EM world, emerging markets becoming a lot more proactive in foreign commercial policy, and Africa is on the recipient side of this, and I think that's a very positive thing, providing we can channel this interest and capital in arguably non-statist fashion in more commercially market-oriented, showing real developmental return type fashion instead.
Dr. Martin Davies, Managing Director, Emerging Markets and Africa at Deloitte.